everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to The Kelly O Show. Today, we have an episode for you. It's an interview with Lindsay Smith, who is known as the Food Mood Girl, and she has, well, let me just give you a little trailer. This topic that we're going to be discussing today is emotional eating, but she really has a unique twist on how she addresses emotional eating, and that's really all I'm going to say, because for all of you ladies that have any kind of issues around emotional eating or body image, you know, your own view of your own body, body dysmorphia, anything like that, you're going to want to tune into this show. It's a great show. She has a book that's coming out. Actually, I think it's out already. But this, just for everybody who's going to listen to the very first few seconds of the show, this was a show that was recorded when we were called Fitfluential Radio, and it was not made live. I think I still have about 10 or 12 of those shows that are going to be going live. So I will always preface that just so that you know, if there's reference to Fitfluential Radio, that's what that is all about, especially for those of you that only discovered us after we became The Kelly O Show. So sit back and enjoy this two-part episode with Lindsay Smith. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and today on the show, I am welcoming Lindsay Smith. Lindsay is known as the, I love this, Food Mood Girl, and is a nationally recognized author, health coach, and dynamic speaker. She has a new book out called Eat Your Feelings, which is one of the reasons I was so excited to have her on the show. It's available for pre-order. In fact, I'm pretty sure when we talked about this in the podcast interview, it is available now. But I have to tell you, I was so overwhelmingly impressed with this lady. She's incredibly talented, very well-spoken, has a lot of input on a topic that's really becoming quite popular because we need to talk about it. And that is, you know, eating your feelings, emotional health, if you will. I would say some complementary topics that we're going to be talking about on the show, both with Lindsay and with others. And, you know, things that are very similar, body image, disordered eating, eating disorders, all of these things that so many of us are struggling with to some degree, but probably feeling a sense of shame around them. And that certainly shouldn't be the case. This is very common. And we talk about this. And what's great about Lindsay is that instead of saying, you know, here's this problem that we all have, here's how to solve it, she has a really different approach, which is, hey, food and emotions are always going to be inextricably tied together. Why don't we just face that? And she actually has, part of her book is dedicated to recipes that address the emotions that we might be going through. You know, apparently there's certain emotions. Well, I don't want to give it away. I'll let her talk about that. And certainly you can see more of that in the book. But again, this is a topic a lot of us are going to be discussing on the show. And I know that you're going to just fall in love with this girl. I mean, when you hear her story of what happened to her at such a young age, I don't want to give the whole interview away by sharing it here, but what a tremendous and extraordinary thing she's done with turning a negative into a positive in her life. So I know you're going to love this interview. I know you're going to want to go out and get her new book, Eat Your Feelings. And for right now, sit back and enjoy this interview with Lindsay Smith.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. And today on the show, I am welcoming Lindsay Smith, the Food Mood Girl. And I talked about her in the intro, but before I say hello to Lindsay, I just have to tell you, we will link this up like we do with all of our guests in the show notes, but I always pull up my guests' websites and their blogs before we start. And so I'm looking at that while I'm talking to them. And I have to tell you, almost more than any other guest, that her website will just make you so hungry and so happy. And it is one of the nicest looking websites I've ever seen. So Lindsay, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you. Are you ready to go?
Yay. Well, thank you for having me. And thanks for the compliment.
It's sincere. And I have to ask this in advance. So in your book, which we will talk about, Eat Your Feelings, love the title. Is the bread that I'm looking at and drooling at, is that by any chance featured in your book?
It is. Uh-huh. Yep. It's so good. And it's so easy. I always say I say that I'm like a very lazy cook. And so all of my recipes are very simple. And that one I think is only just like 5 ingredients, maybe 6.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, it looks divine. I almost should take your website down, but I'm going to keep it because I absolutely love, and my man friend and I were joking about this last weekend, because I absolutely love to cook and I do love to bake. The only thing I won't attempt to do are pies, and my mom is a pie maker queen. But anyway, I can't make stuff up. Like I can't just go, well, let me just whip up some bread. But if I start with someone's recipe, then I can do it and I might tweak it to my own. But I am fascinated by people like you that probably just make up recipes, you know, and it's just no big deal. It's like people that can not even read music and just sit down at a piano and play something. It's art. And I have mad respect for you. So, and the food photography is another thing I want to learn, but that's another separate thing. So let's get started. I'm very, very thrilled to be talking about this, Lindsay. As I told you before we started recording today, we have just in the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, had several guests on the show where we've started this discussion around emotional eating, the mental side of fitness, binge eating, eating in private, you know, all of these issues that I think maybe are probably more prevalent on the female side for sure. We definitely have some men that have written in and said they suffer from these issues or being very self-conscious and so on and so forth, body image issues. And the more that we have started to address this on the show, I certainly have had to deal with these issues. I still deal with these issues. We've had an overwhelming response of people that are emailing us. And so I'm really thrilled to have some outstanding guests on the show that are speaking both from just real life experience, me using my own experience, and then having people like you who have taken it up a notch and written a book about it. So thrilled to have you here. But whenever I have someone on the show for the first time, I do like to hear their background as far as, you know, when was it for you, Lindsay, that you first became interested in, you know, healthier food or leading a healthier lifestyle? When was that for you and why was that for you?
So for me, it started at a really young age. In 4th and 5th grade, I was actually, I had severe anxiety and I had to strategically plan the way I got to school. So that way I didn't have to be in front of any sort of crowd, whether it be getting on a bus to a crowd full of students, to getting dropped off, to having to walk in front of everyone, the hallways. And part of that was due to anxiety and low self-esteem that I had. And by 5th grade, I was actually hospitalized for a panic attack. I was taken out of school. And at first, the doctors didn't really know, you know, what was going on. They just assumed that I was sick because of all my symptoms. And so I went kind of misdiagnosed, you know, right after that hospital visit. But I just remember I was very intuitive, and I just remember having this sense of, you know, this isn't normal to feel like this. This isn't normal way to live life. And, you know, I was dreaming about middle school and high school, and I just felt like, you know, I just had this intuitive sense, and I saw myself, you know, wanting to feel healthy and wanting to feel good. And so even though I was young, even though I was only in 5th grade, it helped that my sister, she is 8 years older than me. And she had similar experiences. And at the time she was like 20. So she was on her own and doing her own things. And she started going to this wellness center and I saw a complete change in her. She just went from very similar issues to I had to feeling very confident to, you know, just feeling good within herself and changing, you know, she changed the way she ate, she started exercising. And so I saw that shift in her and I went to my parents and I said, you know what, I think maybe I could benefit from this as well. I feel like, you know, this is something, maybe this will help my feelings. And so luckily my parents agreed. They sent me to this wellness center and I started working with essentially like a naturopath health coach. And, you know, within 6 months of working with him, I was a completely different person because he, you know, one of the first things we did was change the way that I ate, but not in a restrictive way. We actually added things in, like, you know, more fruits, more vegetables. My mom would take me to the grocery store and I would actually shop for myself. So I had to, Wow. You know, learn how to make recipes or experiment with things. I started making my own lunches. And by ninth grade in high school, I was actually teaching stress management workshops at student council conferences. So this started for me, I say I've been the food mood girl more than half my life because this started for me at a really, really young age.
When you said, okay, because I'm taking notes, I'm such a sloppy writer. So I'm trying to like not be sloppy and write so I can read it, but you had so much stuff there. What were you teaching in ninth grade?
Oh, I was teaching stress management workshops at student council conferences. I got into student council and that's actually where, you know, so this kind of has come full circle since a kid, but you know, not only with the books that I write and the message that I share, but just from a speaking standpoint, doing public speaking, I really got started very young, you know, in ninth grade, which is, you know, to me also just the power of all of this and how it can really change your life, because I went from someone that had to strategically plan the way I got to school to avoid crowds to by ninth grade, I was speaking in front of strangers at student council conferences.
That's amazing. And I'm glad that you brought that up because you said it much better than I probably would have. I was thinking the same thing, like, wow, ninth grade and you're speaking in front of crowds. I mean, that's one of the top three fears or things that cause anxiety in any adult, and public speaking, certainly. And I'm thinking ninth grade, like, you know, I'm comfortable speaking in front of crowds. I still get that flutter. Like I get I'm totally cool, calm, cool, and collected until about 5 minutes before I'm going on stage. And then I start thinking about, oh, if I forget to breathe, and then I get all like, and then once I start, as long as I've been breathing, I'm cool. But if I sometimes, anyway, that's a whole other digression. Ninth grade, the fact that you're doing that. And this is what's really cool too is when we've interviewed guests on the show that have had these incredible life experiences and that essentially started off like, wow, injury, horrible disappointment, learning about, you know, major, like horrible life chaos, death of a parent, something like this, really impactful negative experiences in different lives that have then transformed that person into somebody who has completely turned their life around. And then, okay, I'm going to say it. To me, that's the definition of fitfluential, because then they've decided like, okay, it's great that I changed my own life. Now I want to help other people. And mm-hmm. look at you. Not only was your life about anxiety and avoiding crowds and, oh, this is no fun going to school, to now you have a mission and you're confident and you've changed yourself. I mean, that's remarkable. I have to commend you. I'm just going to ask, how old are you now?
I'll be 30 in July.
And you look so, I mean,
everyone thinks I look like 19.
You do. I mean, you definitely have like a very, young, bubbly, adorable look. So, what a remarkable story. I really had no idea. I was just very excited to talk to you about this topic, but, that's remarkable. So obviously then, how lead us into, you know, bridge the gap. You started down that path, and then I'm sure, you know, how do we get to today where you have this amazing website? You're obviously a foodie, and was it something that, you know, later on when we're talking about eating your feelings, and obviously that's addressing this topic of emotional eating and all of those issues that are so common. Mm-hmm. How did you get to that place where you ended up writing a book about eating your feelings?
So I think there's a couple things. I mean, I went to, after high school, I went to college, and as you can imagine, you know, I went from being this super confident person. I was kind of known in the student council world. And so I knew, you know, I was confident in that world and also very confident in, you know, cause I felt, I don't want to say complacent, but there was a comfort level there of having, you know, been involved for, you know, 4 years with that. I knew everyone from my school because my school was super small. So it was K through 12. So I literally knew everyone since, you know, the preschool days. And there's a sense of, there became just a sense of comfort. And so when I went to college, it was all new experience, all new people. And it brought up a lot of those same anxieties. You know, a lot of the anxieties that I felt in fifth grade, I was feeling once again in college. It was, you know, a new thing for me. So the first couple years, I didn't handle it super well. You know, I mean, I still did well in school and got by, but just as far as the mental state and my physical state, I wasn't doing the things that I knew were helpful for me. I kind of resorted back into those emotional eating tendencies, also drinking heavily. And so by the time I was graduating, I worked full-time all throughout college. And then I was like, you know what, I should probably get a job in my field before I graduate. So I secured a job doing publicity for a wellness center. And when I was there, it was just like fate, because it just reminded me of, oh yeah, you know, all of this stuff. You did all of this stuff and all of this work as a kid. And so then I just kind of realigned myself, started implementing literally the same things that I did whenever I was a kid. And then it was that moment where I'm doing publicity for someone in this wellness center, seeing them impact and help people. And then I realized I could be doing this for myself. I could be helping others and doing a lot of the tactics, you know, the PR tactics, if you will, for myself. And it just, and so I went back to school for nutrition and for culinary. And then, you know, the first thing that I decided to do, as far as building a brand around it, I wanted to do speaking. I wanted to get in front of as many people as I could and share my story and this message. And so I self-published my first book, and that is what set the stage for Food Mood Girl, for people, you know, recognizing the brand and sharing that with other people. And so that was kind of my first into that. And then my last book, Food Guilt No More, I decided to try to seek a publisher. So I had a small publisher put out that book for me. And then that kind of led to Eat Your Feelings, because one of the things that I do when I write books is I ask my audience, I sit with where they're at. I see things even in the nutrition and health field that bother me when it comes to some of these issues. And I like to tackle things head on, but from a standpoint of, you know, like the gray area of things, like being able to look at the black and white and then just be like, okay, but what's this gray? And so by listening to my audience, seeing what they wanted, also just from personal experiences of just, you know, certain things that I even went through within the past few years and what that meant for the bigger picture of food and mood. And so, through those things, that's when I, you know, kind of get the book idea. And then with Eat Your Feelings, this, I say, I would have never been able to write this book if it wasn't for my other two books, or if it wasn't for the years of doing this, because this is to me the highest creation of what I've done. It, you know, I sought out an agent. I'm with a big publisher, and it is everything that my audience has said over the years that they've really wanted, which was, you know, beautiful photographs, more recipes, a complete guide to mood boosting foods, where I go over which foods help with which thing, you know, which foods are good for which emotion. I really dive deeper into all of that. And so that's kind of like the trajectory of it in a very That was kind of long-winded, but the shortest I could give you.
Every single thing I ever say is long-winded. So, I mean, ask anybody that has ever worked for me or with me or knows me. There are no short answers. So half the time I get in the middle of it, and it happens on the podcast too, I'll start kind of replying back to somebody, and then I realize 2 minutes in, no idea what I was responding to. And then I have to like try to move it back around, but it's all good. And I took more copious notes on things to ask about. So I love it. And I love that you brought up the gray area. Incidentally, I had somebody else on the show who actually also kind of used that same metaphor. And I love it because I definitely think that so many of us, it's very easy for people who decide to get healthy, eat better, maybe they want to go on a quote unquote diet, they want to lose weight, it is very, very easy to go from a healthy obsession, if you want to use that phrase, to an unhealthy obsession to not know when you've crossed over, right? Yep. And when you're in that unhealthy obsession area, and I've been there many times. It's an old friend of mine. I recognize it now. And some of these things, these behaviors still pop up in my life, but I see how dogmatic I was about everything. I was such a strict rule follower. Everything had to be black and white. And it was like, if I was reading a fitness book and following this approach and they said, I'll still reference this. One of the first fitness books I read was Bill Phillips' Body for Life. This was probably 20 years ago. And his whole methodology was every other day you do 20 minutes of HIIT workouts and every other day you do a 45-minute weight training thing. And I started to do, I really loved Taibo. So I was doing Taibo every other day instead of 20 minutes. And then someone told me, they said, well, that's not HIIT. You're doing the wrong kind of cardio. And I thought, oh my God, I've ruined everything. And so I would binge because I would get so upset and I would feel, and I would beat myself up and I would, you know, yell at myself and, you know, mentally and I would give up and then I would punish myself, you know, and nobody when they're, for everybody listening, like when I say this stuff, no woman or man that might have these emotional eating issues, no one says, okay, I'm going to go punish myself. Okay. I'm going to go do some negative self-talk in the mirror. But that's what's going on. Okay. Mm-hmm. So nobody plans to do it. Nobody thinks it's cool or fun, but calling it out, like this is what I do. And then figuring out how, you know, what causes it and how you can get past it or how to deal with it. That's better. So, you know, it's just interesting that you bring up gray area, because I think if more of us were able to go, okay, not everything is black and white. Not everything is right or wrong. Food shouldn't be labeled right or wrong. Mm-hmm. It should be, you should be embracing the gray area. Did that take a while for you to get to that place? Or is that something that more you've observed with other people that, okay, too many people need to, you know, stop thinking everything's so black and white? Or was that something that was personal for you too?
I think a little bit of both. I definitely went down the health evangelist route where, you change and you're excited about a change and you see how it's impacted your life and you want other people to know. I do think that oftentimes, you know, it can be taken to extreme, just like any sort of, you know, religious circle. You can have, you know, people can put certain religious groups in categories. And I think it's kind of the same thing when you have a change in your health. You're like, oh yes, you know, this was amazing. And I did this and you want people to know. And I think, but I think you have to understand that some people may not be ready for it. You know, they may not be where you are. They may not have been in the same headspace, and to like shove something down someone's throat it's actually going to be counterintuitive, may actually turn someone off from actually getting the help or the change that they need. So I think, I definitely was that person for a while, and I call that out often whenever I'm like talking about things. And then from the same token, you know, after overcoming that, and even, you know, stop categorizing food as good and bad and all of those things, I knew all of that. And I had that sense and was sharing that. And then I saw this whole other spectrum within the community at large, in the health coaching community, where, you know, people would say things to me like I wasn't skinny enough to be a health coach. And the funny thing is, like, so now I kind of share about this. I wrote an article about being a medium-sized woman and what that means, because I've been medium-sized my entire life, and I am very, I feel like I'm super healthy. But I was, you know, I was just never in either category. I was never thin. I was never big. I was just in the media, you know, just in the middle. And so, I was able to kind of call that out in a loving way as a response to some people and being able to kind of share that.
You have now reached the end of part one of this two-part episode with Lindsay Smith. Make sure you tune into part two.